Welcome to Parents Perspective. It's my turn, squealed 5-year-old Kayla.
No, it's not. It's my turn, Noodlehead, retorted her 8-year-old brother Kyle. Besides, he made a face in her direction, you can't even write.
Come on, settle down, their dad admonished. We'll spread out the picnic and then both of you will have a turn pretty soon.
What are they so hepped up about? Asked their dad's friend Dan. My kids are just happy over there trying to push each other out of that tree.
Oh, we wanted them to have some sort of language arts experience during their time off from school, so we let them make up stories or jokes about their day.
Hmm, mused Dan. Budding comedians or writers, eh?
Well, smiled their dad, at least it's a novelty so far, and they're quite happy one-upping each other, so dinner time is always entertaining these days.
From a parent's perspective, what can we do to stimulate our children's language arts during time away from school? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest encourages and advises young writers. Roseanne Gooding Silverwood teaches writing enrichment and multimedia publication workshops in public and private schools throughout Northern Virginia. Her blog, www.thehungrywriter.org, provides young writers with a multitude of writing advice, ideas, and resources. Ms. Silverwood's fiction has appeared in literary journals and anthologies. She's the mother of 3 daughters, a 20-year-old and 17-year-old twins, all of whom are writers. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Roseanne.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Sandra. I'm happy to be here.
Why do children need language arts activities when they aren't in school?
We don't want our children to associate language arts with school, number one. And we find that reading and writing, which are considered the most important elements of the language arts, there's more to it than that. Reading and writing are important. There's also listening and speaking. And all 4 of those elements really are woven into the very fabric of our lives. And they bring an enrichment to our lives that is not just separate from the schoolroom. So in that sense, they find out in the summertime or on vacations that the language arts is really just a part of their life and they're part of their being.
What kinds of activities are especially suited to preschoolers when you're talking about doing things out of school and doing things that stimulate language arts themselves?
The number one thing that every educator and librarian will tell you is read, read, read. Read to your children, read with your children, and read alongside your children. Even the preschoolers, seeing you reading, it models that reading is a very important part of their lives. It becomes what you do, and just like they may mimic you cooking at their little play kitchen, they're going to mimic you reading a book. So be sure to let them see you read. The most important thing that I did with my preschoolers is to take them to the public library, and it became a function of our week, a routine. They had a little canvas bag, and we had fabric paint or tie-dye or whatever, and they would personalize their bags so that each one had their own little bag. Then we would head off to the library, and our local library allowed you to check out as many books as you wanted. And they would find all the books that they could fill into that bag. They had their own personal library card, and they would check these books out. I would go and check out a few books that I would want to read, but I also went armed with Chinaberry Book Catalog. It's a mail-order bookstore that's specifically for children, and they've been around for ages. They've been around as long as my kids have been young. They also now have a website. So I would receive in the mail maybe every month this wonderful catalog that was divided up by age groups that listed certain books, and each one came with a review that would basically tell what the book was about. It was a very personalized review, and you could tell it was written by mothers and fathers who read to their children. So I had this book, and I would go through, and I'd have things circled and dog-eared and think, I'm going to find this book. It relates to, let's say, our pet cat had just died. Wonderful story is listed in the China Berry catalog that talks about losing pets. And I say, I'm going to get this book and I'm going to read it to my kids. So whatever seemed to be pertinent to what was going on in our lives at the time or particular interests that my children had. Like one of my children was completely gaga over colonial reenactment. Well, there were wonderful suggestions for historical books for children just her age in this catalog. So that was my resource journal. So the children's book librarian is a valuable resource for you. So this was our routine every summer. Along with that, they would always have, for my youngest children, the preschoolers, they would always have either the librarian or an author, a published author of children's book, who would come in and read to the children in the morning. There was a specific time that you had to get there, like 11 o'clock, and here were all these little 3- and 4-year-olds rolling around on the carpets while someone who was wonderful at reading storybooks would engage him in the language arts. And usually they'd have a little game or an activity that would coincide with the book that they were reading. So my kids loved that, just looked forward to it. And I think that it really did foster a love of learning and reading in my children. We would bring these heavy lugged bags, each one carrying all the books that they could hold, back home, spread them out in the family room where we would sit down and start going through the books because we were very excited about this bounty of words and pictures that were in front of us. Libraries are the place to be in the summertime. Another thing that most libraries have is usually a summertime reading program where you have your list of books that you read, and for every 5 books, you get a coupon for an ice cream treat at the local store or maybe a coupon for some entertainment of some sort in the town that the local vendors usually contribute to the library. So this is a wonderful incentive for your kids to check out as many books as possible. Whether your preschooler is reading them or thumbing through them, it's just important to have those books as part of your life, the entertainment that's available always.
A lot of years later, I still have some of those certificates from summer reading.
Yes.
I just could never get rid of them.
Yeah, well, my kids love them. There's a wonderful book, and I don't think it's in print any longer, but it might be found in your libraries, and it might be found, I know there are copies, used copies available at Amazon.com that I've seen. It's called Trust the Children. It's an activity guide for homeschooling and alternative learning by Anna Kealoha. She has listed in there different activities specifically geared towards libraries, like information scavenger hunts, find a book games, library treasure hunts, which helps your children to really get to know the library and begin to see it as the place that they want to be.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on language arts outside of school.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Roseanne Gooding Silverwood about language arts outside of school.
Can you suggest language games that elementary school-age children might enjoy?
Yes. In my work at some of the public schools that I work with elementary school children, games are an essential part of the learning. What I have found, I've purchased several different kinds of games, the prepackaged. This is a language arts game where it's going to inspire fun and maybe some raucous behavior with your kids just to help them let their hair down a little bit concerning the language arts. One of them was called Zing. Another one that does include language arts in its variety of skills builders is Cranium. The kids enjoy these, but they're not met with as much enthusiasm as a prepackaged game, as more spontaneous events that they feel like they're actually inventing as they go along. Number one thing that kids enjoy in language arts is making theater. There's a book by Herbert Cole called Making Theater, which has wonderful ideas for improvisational activities and prompts for kids, acting out scenarios. This is the kind of thing that inspires language, speaking, playing with words, later on writing down as a script. It helps them explore language and their creativity with language. One of the favorite games that my creative writing classes in elementary school has, and this could be conveyed in any family dinner setting or whatever, is taken from a creative writing book called What If? By Anne Bernays and Pamela Painter. It's an adult writing book, but one of their writing prompts is called Two Lies and One Truth. And in our class, each student is to come up with three detailed statements about themselves or their lives or something that's happened to them. Two of them are lies and one of them is a truth. Kids love to lie. You give them permission to lie and they go nuts. So they make up these things. They stand in front of the class and they tell the three statements, one of which is the truth. And, of course, the students try to guess which one is the truth and which ones are the lies. And they, you know, I give them a little prize or something like that. If whoever, you know, we keep tabs of how many somebody gets right kind of thing. What they learn, of course, is that the more details that they add to their statement, sensory details, details about where they are, even if it's a lie, people tend to believe the details. This teaches them about how to add details to their language, whether it's in writing or in speaking. So it's a wonderful game that kids love. Kids love to say when I tell them, we're going to write fiction, and guess what? In fiction, you get to lie. So let's go for it. And they all go, yay, we get to lie.
It's interesting. So much of what you've been saying relies on auditory skills.
Yes.
For kids. And I think sometimes when we're not in a school setting, we forget how significant the auditory part really is in a child's love of language from the beginning.
Yes.
From the songs or the rhymes, the nursery rhymes or whatever you make up, and things that kids like to make up. And I think that was the basis for Dr. Seuss's popularity.
Exactly.
Way back when it was Dick, Jane, and Spot.
Right.
And nobody ever heard of making silly words. And he was able to excite children about language arts.
Right.
By the auditory process.
Because of his unique voice. And as children hear the unique voices of writers, when they're reading them or when they're speaking them, it gets them excited.
Voice not meaning how their
voice,
vocal cord sounds.
Exactly, the writing voice. And this is a very important part of what I'm teaching in my creative writing classes. If you find the voice of your character, if you find the voice of how you're going to say the poem that makes it unique, the voice that you hear inside of your head when you're reading something silently to yourself, that is something that captures the imagination of children and adults. Which brings me to, speaking of voice, an incredibly funny language arts game. And this is from Trust the Children as well. It's called Hysterically Funny Punctuation Game. It comes from an old comedy routine by Victor Borg. I don't know you remember him, right? And what you do is you pick up a story that has a lot of dialogue, hopefully, or a lot of punctuation. And you assign a sound to each punctuation mark so that you read the story aloud, substituting the sounds of every punctuation. For instance, a period being pt, comma being crick, question mark crick put, exclamation point, hyphens, apostrophe, and quotation marks, so that if you were to read a selection from Harry Potter, Chamber of Secrets, it would sound like this. Third time this week, he roared across the table. If you can't control that owl, it'll have to go. And children love making these sounds. But what does it teach them? Punctuation and how, and they begin to read and see that they can have fun with what they're reading.
What kinds of writing can we encourage from elementary schoolers and middle schoolers who may enjoy the punctuation sounds, but we probably need to kind of push them a little further along?
One of the things that I found in the workshops that I've taught at the public schools and the private schools is that students love to have the sense that their work is going to be received and read, that it's going to be published. They love seeing their work in print, even if it's so much as typing it out on a computer and hitting the button to the printer and having it spit out of the machine. They love seeing it in print. So that does take it out of the auditory range and into the written range. When we do our call for submissions, because what I do is I help kids not only in their own creative writing, but in their editorial skills, where then they ask all the members in their school to submit some work to be published in a literary journal that they will publish. So they send out a call for submissions, and the writing we receive ranges from riddles and jokes, poetry, fiction, plenty of epic novels where you say, my goodness, this is 40 pages long. There's no way we can publish this, but we'll take an excerpt. Boys seem particularly to like to write about their gaming prowess, their video gaming experiences, and what they will do. We receive plenty of this kind of writing from the young men in elementary school. They will write about a game they've played online. It'll be in written detail, each thing that happened. Now, our young editors say, sorry, we cannot publish this due to copyright reasons. This is a game that's already belongs to somebody else. But guess what? There is a place for that kind of writing. You can find online websites that are dedicated specifically to particular video games. There's one that's called fanfiction.net, and it has different categories where kids write about their games, write about their favorite television show, and they post it online for other kids who like to read that particular topic for other kids to read and comment on. So there's a place for everything that your children want to write. If they want to write about this computer game that they're playing, then by all means, have them write it. There is an audience for it. Speaking of the internet, it does have me segue into the boogeyman in the closet for parents, which is internet and writing online. And it's this scary cyber world that a lot of times our kids seem to think that they understand and sometimes do understand more than maybe a parent who's not so technologically savvy. It's important before opening the Pandora's box of the internet writing for your child to commit yourself to becoming educated about the medium. But in being educated, it doesn't mean that you just should lock up the computer key and ban it. There is a wonderful book that addresses the challenges and gives some excellent solutions that are related to this medium. It's called What in the World Are Your Kids Doing Online? By Barbara Melton and Susan Schenkel. They go so far as to address the developmental stages by age of what is appropriate for your child on the internet and what the benefits are for that developmental stage, working out the competence issues in the industry of 6 to 12-year-olds. They feel and they give you advice on how to let the internet writing support that very developmental stage. But they also give you wonderful guidelines on how to avoid the dangers and the pitfalls.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on language arts outside of school.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Roseanne Gooding Silverwood about language arts outside of school. Roseanne, which language-related skills can we foster outside of school that aren't reading and writing?
Growing up, one of my daughter's absolute favorite language arts activities was creating, performing in, and watching theater productions. And there's so many low-cost theater outlets for kids to enjoy in our community, and I'm sure in many others, from your high school theater groups, your local community theater, also in Washington, D.C. And I know this might scare some people. We have the Shakespeare Theater. And for little kids, you think, oh, they're not going to enjoy this. But what better way to learn the love of language? And every summer, the Shakespeare Theater has a free-for-all where they give free Shakespeare. When I first approached this with my kids, I thought, oh my goodness, how am I even going to understand what's going on? But we would read the program that they had designed for children ahead of time to understand the story, and we would go, and I'd say, don't worry about it. Just enjoy the beauty of the language and the wonderful costumes, and we will figure it out. Well, of course, they fell in love with Shakespeare. Another thing that is very simple is for kids to put on their own homegrown performances for the neighborhood, for the family. Always have a trunk of costumes in your house for these kids to change into and create their new worlds. Another very important way of fostering language arts is storytelling. And it doesn't require costume change. It just requires you changing the tone of your voice here and there in the story and getting people excited about it. A wonderful book, Ann Pawlowski's The Storytelling Handbook, gives wonderful stories, gives ideas, using props, not using props. Absolutely the most conducive environment for storytelling is the campfire setting. Going camping or a neighborhood campfire, now they have these little fire rings, bag of marshmallows, you are set to entertain everyone. And everyone entertains each other through telling group stories where they kind of go around and everybody changes the story. My kid's favorite camping story was the ongoing saga of the giant Chesapeake Bay jellyfish who would slurp to shore and devour unwitting vacationers. Every kid loves scary stories. Every kid is entranced and horrified. They want it. They don't want it. A wonderful book, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and I think he has several of these by Alvin Schwartz, gives stories that are not so scary and stories that are really scary, stories that end with a big boo so that everybody jumps. You need to gauge your audience. You don't want everybody climbing in the tent with you in the middle of the night, but scary stories help kids love language, love the language arts because it's enthralling. Don't think, oh, this is just going to upset my kid too much. There are stories out there that will keep them thrilled and in their own beds.
It's interesting. We used to do those kinds of stories sometimes when we had power outages. So you didn't even have to be in the summertime on a camping trip. You could just be in the dark somewhere.
That's right. That's right. There's something about it. It stirs the imagination.
Well, our imaginations obviously have been stirred right here, but we have to close. And before we do, what further resources do you suggest for any listeners who would like to continue to pursue this?
Use book sales, wonderful way to just load your house up with books. Theater events, look in your art sections of your newspapers to find where it's going on. And also in newspapers, you'll find announcements for authors who are giving readings at various places. For high schoolers, this is a big kick to see their favorite author speak and read on the book and get the book autographed. It really personalizes things. My blog, I'll mention again, thehungrywriter.org, has a lot of links to various topics that we discussed, and I promise to post more links on it. I know your website has many links to the things that we've discussed. For camping, go to nps.gov, which is the campgrounds of the national parks. There's state parks. There's community parks that have campfire rings. Take advantage of it. Go to the store, get your wood and your marshmallows and your spooky stories and your set.
Well, this has been a very interesting conversation with a lot of information for all parents and caring adults who'd like to stimulate more language arts development in our children. So, Roseanne Gooding Silverwood, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. I'm delighted.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child: Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 404 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from our listeners. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.